You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, we chat about D&D and card games and events and just, you know, so many fun things. It's Apathetic Enthusiasm. Welcome to the show. Thank you for being here. My name is Travis.
Hey, everybody. I'm Brandon. And we have
Brandon bringing in the peak energy that he's fired up. He's excited. You can tell by the way he said, "Hi, I'm Brandon."
It's a special day that we're playing today. I said playing because I just noticed that I had Steam on still. And I was like, oh, yeah. Dexter's playing a game.
What you playing on the old steamers there, Brandon?
I'm not playing anything right now, but there's this game that called Necess that came out. And it's like kind of like Core Keeper, kind of like Stardew Valley. One of those types of games, Terraria, where you build up stuff. It's top down.
You waste time by spending lots of time doing tasks in a game that you wouldn't actually do in real life.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And I looked into it because, well, you know what? We'll get into that here after a second. After, you know, this quality content,
we don't want to waste a good conversation.
Before we get into quality content, a little bit of housekeeping. You can go to Apathetic Enthusiasm Show or something.
Do you not have the links open? Are you not prepared?
No. I had the show notes open, but you deleted them. So, like, there's nothing left.
That's false. That is false. That's fake news, everybody.
No.
If you want to follow us, you can. You can go to Facebook, facebook.com/apatheticenthusiasmshow. You can send us emails. We love your emails at apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. Instagram, you can follow us at apathetic_enthusiasm. Or you can go to our website, apatheticenthusiasm.com. If you want video versions of the podcast, you want to see which one of us is the bald one and which one is the handsome one, spoiler, it's the same one. Go to youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Don't forget to like, subscribe, do all the things over there. And then if you want to support our podcast, you can go to patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. The website's out of date, but we still love you anyway. Thank you to all the patrons at patreon.com. Yeah, that's it. That's it. One thing about the social media links, when we say in an episode like, "Hey, ask us a question, shoot us your questions at a question, if you want to go question," you don't have to ask us a question about stuff we talked about in an old episode. The reality is, once we stop recording, we pretty much forget what we talked about. Sometimes we're sitting here still chatting after an episode and I'm working on episode images. It's like, what did we discuss 30 minutes ago? So it definitely doesn't have to be a question about anything else.
Pretty consistently. We forget immediately about what we talked about.
Just throw it out there. Let us know a question you have about us, about, you know, anything, and if we feel comfortable answering it, because frankly, this isn't an AMA. We're not going to answer everything, but, you know, we'll answer or we'll make a joke answer. We've been known to do that. So send us your questions at any of those links, and we'll cover it in a future episode, Bob.
Yeah.
All right. You were saying, okay. Brandon.
I got into the point where, like, I haven't. Sizemore and I play NCAA, and we don't play against each other.
Fans of Apathetic Enthusiasm will remember Sizemore is Brandon's best friend.
That's right. You asked for it. Here it is. But we don't play the game with each other. We're in Dynasty, and so he has his team, I have my team, and we send each other a text once it's time to advance, and we just say pants. Because for some reason
you guys are weird. You got a weird friendship that's lasted the test of time.
Yeah, because he accidentally, like, autocorrect again. I think we talked about this before. I'm sure we'll talk about it again. Autocorrect sucks nowadays. It doesn't autocorrect the things you want it to autocorrect most of the time. So anyways, he I think it did like a voice to text and said tried to say advanced, and instead it said pants. And so then I made fun of him, and then we just kept saying pants. So anytime we advance to the next, we just shoot a text, pants. Or now we send gifts of pants to each other.
when the joke evolves over time.
Yeah. Anyway, so I wanted to find a game. Like, we talked about, a couple of my friends at work talked about Stardew Valley, like wanting to do something like that. And Stardew Valley, like, to get an online server, like, you have to, like, set up your farm first. And then it is cross-play, but then it's still only, like, four people. So then I went looking, and I found this game called Necess, which is kind of like it, but it can have hundreds of people in the game at the same time to, like, build this world, this persistent world. So I bought Necess to play with my friends. What I realize is it's
still haven't received an invite, by the way, folks.
No. I haven't sent you one yet. Mostly because I get
Thanks
on
for listening. That's our show.
I haven't played it is the point. I haven't played it yet. I installed it. I turned it on. I was like, oh, this is kind of cool, but it's on my MacBook and I want to play with a controller. I just haven't set up a controller. And it's like one of those things where, like, I want to play it, but also, I'll get to it some other day. So I want to play with friends, but I just haven't had the time.
Relatively new game. Ended early access on October 9th, it appears.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I never heard of it.
D&D
I'm
friend.
I'm shocked I was able to spell it even halfway correctly to look it up on Google.
A friend of the D&D group of ours, Kevin, I saw him playing it on Steam. I hopped in to his game easily, seamlessly, and then I started to, I had an axe and I started tearing down his walls. I was like, see you later.
Just start griefing his game and, like, after 5 minutes.
Not even 5 minutes, immediately.
I will say, and I don't believe you were really in on this, back in the very early Minecraft days, we had a considerable amount of friends that all played Minecraft together. This was in beta before the 1.0 release. And I used to host the shared server just on my PC in my dining room.
Yeah.
And it was just, you would just open up your local game basically to anybody that wanted to play. We kept that server going for a couple years. I would be out, like, with my family at the zoo or something, and I'd get phone calls from people like, the server's down. I'm like, sorry, you have to go touch grass for 10 minutes while I'm running an errand.
You have to wait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's gotten better, but that sort of collaborative open environment, especially when it's a thing that people can jump in and out of independently, which I don't know if that's the case with Necess, but like if the world sort of exists independently of any of the players, then it's super fun to, like, leave the game for a day or two and then come back and see somebody's built this whole, you know, thriving community with, you know, they're a benevolent leader now for some reason that has, you know, taken over a portion of the map or something.
But, one of the things that I'm interested about with Necess is it's one of the downsides of those types of games, which is, you know, you're mining, you're going in the forest, you're doing a bunch of stuff, you're collecting all of these things. And then you get back to your base, and then there's this aspect of resource management. And you're like, okay, well, now I've got to make all this food. Now I've got to do all this stuff over here. Now I got to organize my resources inside, like, 500 different chests. And one of the things that Necess has that I haven't explored too much is it has, like, villagers that come to your town, that, like, your settlement, and they will do tasks for you. So you can assign them to do things like inventory management of chests or making food. So
that's kind of awesome.
Yeah.
Actually, I really like that. Like automating those tasks that sort of, some people really like that. Some people really like doing their own resource management and things like that. I always just fill my backpack or chest too much. Then I'm like, well, I need another one or I need to quit playing this game. Those are the two. Mm-hmm. Those are the two viable options.
They get right? they get so packed. And like I try my best. I'm like, all right, this chest is going to be for rocks and ore and stuff. This one's going to be for food items. This one's going to be for plants that you can grow. And then at some point in time, like, fuck it. Like, I just like.
Just unload everything into this one chest and we'll sort it out later. Ideally, I'll just remember which one the stuff's in that I need.
Yeah. Yeah. And so Minecraft, Core Keeper, those games are much like my real life where I'm just like, I have a bunch of shit in a bunch of different places. I just know where all of it is.
Yeah. That's good. That's good.
So anyway, if you're interested, man, I'd like to play that game with you.
I mean, I have figured out that over the last few years, I have become a filthy casual. I am a casual gamer.
Yeah.
Especially hearing a lot of the youngins around the workplace who are talking about new shooter games, new other games that are coming out. And they're like, oh, everybody's jumping in playing this first person shooter. And I'm like, yeah, I have no desire to even spend the money to get that game because I know I won't be good at it. I will probably lose interest relatively quickly. And I'm too busy doing other things. Mind you, I play games all the time, just not video games as much anymore. I'm playing around with these, you know, cardboard guys over here, you know, the cards.
We played PUBG for a minute. We played that one game that's like PUBG. I saw my brother Brett, he's playing this game called Ark Raiders, which is kind of like those.
That's what the kids are playing around around the old work center.
All right. You know, that's like it's interesting, but also one, I don't know if I have my computer even cares to play that game, and two, I don't know if I care to play that game.
Oh, my computer is limping along to get through this podcast, let alone play like a AAA game. Like that's why I got the PlayStation. I decided, you know what? I can play some console games. I'm not trying to be ultra competitive. I'm not doing a ton of first person shooters where I need, you know, keyboard, mouse, that situation. So I was playing that Skate 4, the new Skate game. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it up until the point where the long-winded tutorial that teaches you about the different aspects of the game and stuff. When it got to the point where I had to party up with someone to progress further, I was like, I guess I'm done with this game now. I am not playing it to, I mean, if, I don't know, somebody that, you know, I podcasted with or something had downloaded the game, maybe I would have partied up, but not, you know, something I needed to do.
Maybe, maybe at most.
Maybe, maybe. But so then I was like looking through the game store and I was like, oh, it's that Spider-Man game everybody liked 8 years ago when the PS5 first came out or whatever. Or I think it was PS4 even. And so I'm playing the remastered original Spider-Man game that I never played because this is my first PlayStation. I've been an Xbox, you know, goon my whole career. So
it's a good game too.
It's fun. It's fun. I'm enjoying it. I'm not good at it. I lowered the difficulty because I was like, I just want to, I'm at the point now where I don't want to be good at the game. I just want to have fun and, you know, swing around New York and punch bad guys and web them to the walls and then fall asleep.
Ninja Gaiden 4 just came out for the Xbox. It's on Game Pass, and that series is hard, and when I played the original Ninja Gaiden, well, not the original, but the original Xbox Ninja Gaiden, I was like, yeah, I'm gonna beat this on hard, right? And it was a challenge. And then I made it through. I started playing Ninja Gaiden 4 on medium, and it was hard. And I'm like, I want to play through this game, but also I don't want to struggle through this game. I've got too much other stuff in my life I've got to struggle with. A game is not one of them.
Yeah. I'm not here to learn something about myself anymore.
Yeah.
Like there's enough challenges I have outside of the PlayStation. I don't need it inside. Yeah, I'm good.
Yeah. That's why I like menial tasks of Necess and Terraria.
There you go.
Where I'm like,
can I subcontract NPC villagers to manage these tasks for me? Is this possible?
Yeah. The other game I'm playing is we talked about this, the Deep Rock. I'm still playing that Deep Rock Survivor Galaxy thing. The dwarves and they're fighting bugs because it's like a very like I don't have to press any buttons. It's just moving the stick, and I'm like, there's progression to it, and it's such a low threat game to come into. Be like, all right, well, I don't want to play anything else. I'll just do this. I don't have to get invested in a story here. It's three levels and then I'm done. You know.
Yeah. Let me just kill a little time. Decompress for a little bit.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. I get exactly. it. I get it. That's fine. That's
exactly fine. Right, man.
Cool.
So,
all right.
Anyways, I'll send you an invite for Necess. You got to buy the game. I'm not going to do that for you.
All right. I'll think about it. I knew Set of Lorcana came out this week, so I've spent so much money. I'm far from done. I'm far from done. Damn. I'm like, I have every desire to spend plenty more.
What a
silly little piece of cardboard.
What set is this? Is this Jafar's castle?
This is set 10, Whispers in the Well. The introduction of Whispers into the game.
Okay.
Whispers are unfinished glimmers. So every card in Lorcana is known as a glimmer. Whispers are unfinished glimmers. So whereas this Mickey Mouse detective is it represents a character and like it's got like a dark border around him, this is a whisper jasmine. So it's like a paper outline on it, and it's all like ripped up and tattered. And so the whispers have a new effect called boost, which means you can pay an additional cost to put the top card of your deck face down underneath the card, which unlocks an additional or, you know, different ability for the card. So it's an interesting effect because you have to pay an additional cost, but some of their abilities are pretty cool. I played two pre-release events this last weekend. They were sealed tournaments where you go and they give you 6 unopened packs. You open the packs, you build a deck, and then you play like 3 rounds with that deck. Friday night did really well, came in second, didn't lose a single round, only lost one game, and that was enough to come in second. But I got a bunch of extra cards for that, and then went and played again on Friday. So yeah, lots of fun. I'm really digging the new set. But now,
how'd you do on the second game?
I went 2-1. My second round went to game 3, and the cards that I ended up pulling, I feel like the deck that I put together on Sunday was nowhere near as strong as the cards that I ended up with on Friday night. Mm. But I still managed to work with them and pretty well and had some good games with them. So,
okay. Good game.
Yeah. But today was a very stressful day in Lorcana and for me personally, because the tickets for the Disney Lorcana Challenge in Richmond, Virginia, which is happening in January, went on sale today. This is the premier event for Lorcana, right? These are large 2,000 player tournaments that take place throughout the year. There are only 3 of them in North America this year, so people are really eager to get into them. The tickets went on sale at noon, and by I think 12:06, like they were fully sold out. So I was standing by for like an hour beforehand, setting up my Eventbrite accounts. I was hearing rumblings about issues with the website and how if you went to the event page, it was like logging you out of your account. Like it didn't show you as logged in when you went to the event page. So people are having better luck with the app. So I downloaded the app on my phone and my wife's phone so that, and then logged in with two separate accounts so that I could get both a ticket for me and my son at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
Thankfully, everything worked according to plan and my AT&T fiber connection did its thing.
Nice.
And I was successful in acquiring two tickets for the Disney Lorcana Challenge. And then just spent the rest of the afternoon seeing on every social media platform that I follow with Lorcana stuff, all the people just rage posting about how upset they were that they couldn't get tickets. Every so often sprinkled in with someone that's like, see you in Richmond, like, you know, with a screenshot of their, you know, tickets approved thing or whatever. But it's super exciting for me just because. This game has been something that me and my son have been engaged with for 2 years now. And we started out not really knowing anything about the trading card game world. And now to kind of be planning to go to this big event, and it's right around his birthday. So we can kind of make a long weekend of it and just go have a lot of fun and just be around a lot of people that really enjoy the same thing.
That's really cool, man. That's
really looking forward to it. Yeah.
Yeah. What I noticed was you didn't invite me to that event.
I'd be happy to.
You didn't tell me at all that tickets were going on sale. You know I'm a sucker for FOMO. You know I would be like, Chelsea, I don't care what we have to buy this year. I'm going to Richmond for
Brandon. If there was any point in the last 2 years of me incessantly talking about Lorcana, where you had made it even remotely seem like you would be even a little bit interested, man, I would. Nothing would make me happier.
Yeah,
right. Like, come on, hanging out with you in two hotels a year instead of just one. I mean, come on.
Yeah. But yeah,
if you want to keep an eye on the Eventbrite,
the resale,
you know, page, like people refund those tickets all the time, and then you know the new ones become available.
I just want you to know that this is how I understand how you feel about Necess now. Like,
oh, yeah.
You know,
okay, good. Glad we understand each other.
I get it. They're basically the same thing. So, you know, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I'm sorry too. I'm sorry you won't play Lorcana with me.
I can't. I'm so far away, man. I'm so far away. And you spend so much time.
So many ways we could play each other.
You spend so much time.
For free, by the way. You would have to buy zero cards.
That game so often that, like, I'm just not in the mood to get my ass whooped constantly. Like, it's like playing on hard Ninja Gaiden, right? I'm like, nah, it's too far along.
The thing, right?
It's too far like along.
this is the big show, so to speak, right? Like, the most competitive players, this is the tournament that they go to. This is the event that the world champions go to qualify for nationals and qualify for worlds and all that kind of stuff, right? So I have certainly progressed a lot in the last 2 years in my understanding of the game and understanding of how to play it and all the things that go into understanding, you know, the meta game outside of the game and all of those things. I was finally successful in winning like a tournament, like a set championship tournament. But I'm still not like at that. I still don't have like decades of Magic the Gathering or like Yu-Gi-Oh experience, you know, like that that I've built upon. But I do kind of hold my own for the most, like I'm not always in the, you know, top 10%, but I'm usually in the top like 75 to 80%. Like I do okay. So I am very curious to see how it will go. Like the Saturday is like 8 rounds. So we're talking 8+ hours, like of just straight game, now, like you, without breaks or lags in between and stuff. So yeah.
Now, are you playing or are you just there to observe?
Playing. Yeah, we got competitor.
Oh, okay.
We both got competitor badges to go play.
Okay, no, that's cool. That's cool. Now I'm really mad you didn't invite me because I think that I could get really good by that point in time.
You, within the next like 70 days, you think?
Yeah.
You really lock in, focus, and okay.
I'll get a resell deck. You know, from cards that don't count anymore. And just show up, and they'll be like, "No, you're disqualified. You can't play this deck anymore."
There are infinity side events where you can play with all of the cards.
And I don't want
build
those.
A deck with.
I don't want those.
You could.
Yeah, I don't want. Yeah. I don't want them. I want to use Pokemon cards just with like put Mickey Mouse ears on Pikachu. Be like, no, I can play this. I can play this card. It's a Mickey card.
Judge, tell him my card's legal. Tell him it's
no, legal. It's not. It's not, sir. Yeah, no, sir.
You don't even have a ticket. How are you in here?
How do you keep getting in here and at the table to compete?
There's just like a closet somewhere in the convention center with like all these Lorcana competitors that you keep tying up and throwing in there and taking their spots.
Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, let me know how you're getting out there.
Yeah, man.
We'll link up.
Sure. Yeah. No, yeah. That's exciting. That's exciting. Does it make you nervous does it make you nervous to be like at the big show?
I don't know. It will certainly be the largest tournament I've ever been to by a long shot, right?
Even bigger than Comic-Con?
Comic-Con was like 12 people. Like, yeah.
So yes?
Yeah.
Okay. That.
Yeah, bigger than Comic-Con.
Yeah, you didn't have to shit on me, you know? Was it bigger than Comic-Con?
Oddly enough, though, I'm almost confident now that the guy, I need you to send me the video of that you took of me playing in that tournament, because mm-hmm. I don't have that video. But I think the guy that was sitting like across from me diagonally is like a really well-known judge in Lorcana gaming. And I think I follow him on Instagram without knowing that was him at the time.
Oh, damn.
That we were playing. So yeah, really, you know, small world, small community of players and things like that. But yeah, to answer your question about nerves, I think there will definitely be nerves initially, but like it's so many people. I did go to the very first Disney Lorcana Challenge in Atlanta last year. I guess, yeah, 2024. But I wasn't a competitor. I was just there as an attendee. I could play in side events, but I wasn't in the main competition. So it won't be my first like time like in the room, but it'll be my first time like competing. And really, once you sit down, it's the same game you play every weekend, right? It's the same game you play all the time. Some of those people that I might be paired against might be really good or really experienced, but some of them are probably at the same level or, you know, even lower than me, or, you know, may play less often or things like that. So my intent would be just to really buckle down, practice a lot between mm-hmm. now and January, and just give it my best. If I go 0-3, I can drop, I can play side events, I can still have a good time. So yeah. We'll see how it goes.
Follow-up question. Is a Disney Lorcana challenge event like that, is it like the World Series of Poker where like everybody is like, they have like their same, like they got the dark glasses, like they're all kind of acting the same.
Wearing hoodies and, yeah. and
they're all snooty and they're like.
No, from what I've heard, like the community is actually pretty great. It's pretty welcoming. There's a lot of good vibes and there's some very serious players. No question. And I think most of the people that play at that level competitively are very serious about the game, and it's not a time where you're like gonna want to be like learning how to play, so to speak, right? You need to know the game pretty well.
I can't join? Is that what
I mean, you maybe you could.
So, okay. Real quick. So I can get a point for this one.
I can't imagine like you roll up with a starter deck and unsleeved, like just like, and you're just like, I'm not sure what half these cards do, but let's give it a shot. I'm sorry. Oh, I can't challenge that because it's not exerted. I didn't know that. I didn't know that was part of the rules. It's these like fundamental concepts of the game. But
that'd be beautiful.
You'd be thrown in the closet with the other Illuminators.
I'd pay to do that.
I know you would. I know you would. But yeah, I don't know. It's it'll be interesting. It'll be fun. Either way, it'll just be a fun time hanging out with my son and celebrating his birthday and playing a lot of Lorcana.
That's great.
New set's really fun. If you've never played the game, recommend checking it out.
Whispers.
Whispers in the Well.
Whispers in the Well, a gummy bear's reference.
Adding Black Cauldron cards to this set.
Yeah.
Adding Gargoyles.
Yeah,
the TV show Gargoyles,
Tiamat, Cloud from Final Fantasy VII.
I have one guy at work that's like, as soon as they add Kingdom Hearts, I'm in. Until then, I can't play it. But all right, what's new with you? What games are you playing? You're playing. You said you're playing you're not playing it.
Yeah.
What else are you doing? What are you doing with your time, Mr. Dolphin Man?
What I started saying before we started recording was last Thanksgiving. Never waste good content. Last Thanksgiving, I did a little D&D camp.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key. And that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
One shot with my nephew and Dexter. And my nephew's been he's been asking me every time he sees me, he's like, we're still doing
it. He's been persistently inquiring.
Yes. Are we going to do a campaign? I'm like, yes, we are going to do it. Like across the whole year. Like it will happen. So it is now the 10th of November, right? Yeah. November 10th.
Remember.
The 10th of November. Happy birthday, Sheena. It's not today, but I'm just saying
it's not.
Yeah, that rhyme reminds me of her. So I'm like, okay, I have to set something up. And what he wanted to do was like something kind of like sci-fi related, D&D sci-fi related. And so I had my Loot Studios account, and I was doing all of the fantasy. I was doing the fantasy bundles, and I was like, damn it! All right, let me switch over to sci-fi. And get a bundle. So,
are you still subscribed to that website?
Yeah,
I forgot
all about it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. The S, you need to tell me, show me some of the STLs that you have, because I might need to borrow some.
I've got a ton. I haven't downloaded all of them.
I canceled that like a year ago.
Yeah, because I forgot. But then I remembered, I'm like, okay, I wanna print some figurines so we can do this kind of sci-fi D&D campaign. And so I found one. I went to Loot Studios. I found one. And I found a set which is called Starship Frontier. And so there's a bunch of like little spaceships, and then, you know, figurines. Like the little spaceships are like very, very small, right? Like they're like micro machines size. Which is dating myself. And then actual figurines of people. And so I'm going to put something together of like there is a part of the campaign where they are people, where there are like, there's, I don't know what it is yet. I'm like thinking like maybe monsters or something like that. And then they get into their spaceships, and then like, I can either go one way. I can go one way where like they're in one spaceship and they're manning different parts of the spaceship.
Co-op.
Yeah. Like a little bit of co-op. They're manning the same spaceship and they're trying to defend against the monsters, or give them each their own spaceship, and then they're doing stuff like that. And the characters, I'm like, okay, so I still want to stick with D&D 5e, which means like it's just like translating sci-fi or fantasy into like kind of sci-fi characters. So if you have your ranger, yeah, if you have your wizard, sorcerer, stuff like that, like how does that translate into like a sci-fi character? So I'm trying to do stuff like that. I got those STLs. I started 3D printing them. They're pretty cool, and I probably won't paint them. But I'll have them available so that they can play. So
that's awesome. Yeah, I really like the idea of not that you're asking for my input, but I like the idea of putting them in the same spaceship, right? And I think you could do something really fun where whether it's under attack or things like that are happening, where they're having to like maybe repair or like manage the shields or something like that, right? And then you can do either ability checks or just like dice rolls to check on effectiveness, right? And maybe like, I don't know, almost just like a high energy battle where they're not necessarily like fighting a specific monster or something, but mm-hmm. like, oh, you have to, I'm almost thinking of like what's the video game, is like Overcooked or something, or like what's,
oh yeah, yeah,
right, like if there's two of them or if there's three of them, have one more task than there is number of people, and they almost have to like move around and maintain statuses of like multiple things or something. I don't know. Yeah, that just popped in my head. I'm like, that'd be super fun. Like that'd be a cool thing to
do. Yeah, like
while they're all like tired from eating too much turkey and carbs, and they're just like, roll. Oh, I only got a two, and you're like, wop, wop, wop,
wop. Yeah, I mean that'd be cool. Like you have you could have your engines for navigation. It's like that's one role. You can have your weapons, and then you can have your shields. So mm-hmm. like somebody should be trying to navigate, and like if somebody's shooting at you and no one's manning the engines or the navigation, like then your dodge goes down significantly. So you're not going to be able to roll versus a dodge if no one's like actively controlling that. But if they're manning, they'd be manning the shield. So then they can like see how much damage they mitigate by that. Otherwise,
I don't know.
Otherwise, this is a
nerdy conversation, and I'm here for it.
Otherwise, they're flying, right? Not manning the shields, and then so like they can roll to dodge, but if they hit, then they take some amount of damage. Like maybe like the shot just grazes them, right? So there's ways to do that. And then weapons, you can't attack. You can't attack. Like, so if you're playing like purely defensively, and I could probably like put like asteroids and shit out there. So like they can, you know, like use that as like half cover or full cover, you know?
Yeah. Just feels like it could be I mean, knowing you, it's going to be story driven. It's going to be very exciting. So
I'm excited about it now. I started printing those things out.
I can't wait for the invitation for Thanksgiving so I can participate.
Damn it. That's another one. All right. You're one up on me.
Well, I'll tell you about an event that I went to this weekend that I didn't invite you to because I love you as a friend. I went to a live performance of a podcast. This was a show. It's called the LOL Podcast. I wasn't familiar with it. My youngest daughter, Sienna, is a fan, and it's like 20-something-year-olds who goof around and make content that is squarely targeting like the teenage demographic, right? So like YouTuber-esque, right? And at some point months ago when they announced their world tour, the it was gonna be in November, relatively close to my daughter's birth. She's like, I want to go. Is there any way we can go? And we ended up buying tickets for her. We got two tickets for my daughter and a parent to be named later. And then I forgot about it. I completely forgot that this was even a thing. I had actually considered making plans to go to, believe it or not, a Lorcana tournament on Saturday in another state. So I it's good I didn't, because then I guess Sheena would have had to go. But yeah, I went to this podcast event with my daughter. It was a lot of kids that were screaming. They were very excited. I have to say, the people on stage, even though I'm not their target demo, there were moments I found it entertaining. I found it, you know, funny. There were parts where I was like, ugh, okay, that's that's fine. That's all right, whatever. But it was just like a really surreal experience because, like, my daughter was so into it. She said it was the best time. She was so excited to see that. And it's just really weird. Like, I don't know, the way, I don't know, like the paths for people. Like, imagine if we'd really tried hard on this podcast. Like, it wasn't a giant venue. It's not like they were playing the Paycom Center. I think originally they booked the Paycom Center, which is where like the Oklahoma City Thunder play. And then the event was actually at like the Performing Arts Center of a community college.
Okay.
Yeah. So
yeah, it's not.
But, I mean, it was still fine.
It's not. Wait. Don't tell me. It's the LOL podcast.
It is. Yeah, it is. But yeah, so I did that. It was very interesting to, I don't know. It was weird. I survived. I'm glad my daughter had a great time.
Yeah.
It's like
her Harmontown, you know?
I guess so. I guess in a way, yeah, it is. Congrats to those kids. One really funny thing that happened is at the end of the show, they were like, they brought out this giant beach ball. And they're like, if this crowd can send this giant beach ball all the way to the back of the room, touch the back wall, and bring it back to the front in under 20 seconds, then everyone in here gets free tickets to tomorrow night's show in Dallas. All you have to, so, and immediately I was like, why would they give the whole audience free tickets? And then I was like, oh, because they didn't sell enough tickets for the venue that they have booked in Dallas. And they need more people in that audience. So they can still make money on concessions, potentially sell more merch.
Mm-hmm.
And at least for the videos and pictures that you post on the inevitable social posts, the place looks more full if you give everyone in Oklahoma City free tickets the night before. Wouldn't you know it? We all got free tickets. We did not drive to Dallas the next day to watch it again.
Did she want to go?
I think she would have if any parent or you know, trusted adult would have been like, yeah, I'll drive you down there.
Yeah,
she'd have been down 100%.
If one of the other parents there that was unwillingly there was like, yeah, I'm going anyway. Like, nice to meet you. Like, here's my license.
Keep my license.
I'll be back. Like, I'm going. It sucks, but yeah, no, it's interesting what our kids are into, right? Like I don't even know what Dexter watches on YouTube. He just watches a bunch of shit.
Spoken like a real involved parent.
Yeah, and I'm like, I don't. You know what he does is like he'll watch things that he's into at the time. So he was playing Silk Song, and so he was watching a bunch of videos on that. Any new game he gets into, he's like, I'm gonna watch videos on that, right? I guess kind of like me. You know, I did not go to a podcast show this weekend, but I did take the boy to see the new Predator movie, Predator Badlands, by Trachtenberg, who did Prey.
Ready for a thorough review. I'm very excited.
Thorough review. So some people are like, Predator, PG-13, get the fuck out of here. Right? But this movie takes place. The main character is the Predator, a Predator named Yautja. Named Deck, and he goes to this planet, which is like very, very hostile. He's there hunting a big monster. He meets Elle Fanning, who is an android, and like
I imagine like the plot is him actually meeting Elle Fanning,
yeah. Hey.
Find out what happens when a predator and a 20-something fall in love. Like, it turns into a romantic comedy.
Yeah, yeah. So, like, the rated R stuff, like, I know people, just real quickly, there are no humans in this movie. They're all androids. And the predator kills a bunch of androids. And like the movie is pretty badass. Like there's a lot of action. There's a lot of character development. It's all of the Predator moments are subtitled. So like he is talking, but it's all subtitled.
Okay.
Which is a fun little way to like make people read subtitles. But it's very good. And by the end of the movie, I was like, yeah, this might be one of my new favorite Predator movies. And Dexter, it was like, that was a lot better than a lot of the Predator movies I've seen. It's solid. It's solid. I highly recommend it. It's not scary. So Bob Carroll, it is not scary. You would enjoy it. So like this Predator Deck, he's not like a full blown, like he's not part of a clan or anything like that. He's like trying to prove himself. So it's almost like a training ground. So he doesn't have like the things like a cloak where he can turn invisible or like he's learning. It's good.
Yeah. I'm actually pretty excited to see it. I would, I'd love to go out to a theater, but I I just know for a fact I probably won't. But I'm very excited to see it once it's available at home. So many other movies coming out.
Yeah. You know, Running too. Man. The Running Man.
Yeah.
I'm going to go see Wicked that this for Friday. Good.
Zootopia 2. So many movies.
Wicked for Good. That preview played before Predator Badlands. And I looked over at Dexter and I said, you want to go see that? He's like, no. I'm like, what happened to your camera, Travis? For the audio listener, Travis's camera tilted randomly. As if
I think I might have kicked the tripod with my foot.
It was as if to say, don't make fun of Wicked for Good.
Don't you do it. So funny how good friends we are, but how wildly different our households can be from time to time.
Yeah.
There is not a person in my house that isn't hyped for the new Wicked movie.
You too.
Everybody's ready. Everybody.
Well, even you? Go.
Yeah.
Really? That movie looks...
Yeah, I enjoy musical theater. What can I say?
It looks stupid. I know nothing about that movie other than it shits on the original lore of Wizard of Oz. You know, like, where's Firouza Balk and Return to Oz and TikTok? You know, where are those things? Instead, it's like, oh,
no. Did you watch Wicked?
No, why would I? It shits on the lore.
Yeah, no, it's interesting. It's good
movie. Does it shit on the lore, Travis?
It tells the story from a different perspective.
Yeah, it's from the Wicked Witch's perspective.
Yeah, if you don't want the government's cleaned up, sugar-coated way of telling the story, if you want the real facts, then you go to Wicked.
Wait, if you want the real facts, you go to Wicked?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, if you don't want the wizard's, you know, propaganda about, you know, being all-powerful Oz and all these things, you know, oh, yeah.
No, see,
I don't know.
You know, that's the opposite thing is happening, Travis. The government is coming in and they're whitewashing history. They're changing history to make the Wicked Witch. Oh no, maybe the Wick. You know, a lot of movies are doing this, right? Like that whole with Angelina Jolie. She was the evil stepmother or whatever. I don't remember what it was.
Snow White.
Yeah, yeah, and she was good all of a sudden. You know, like
I didn't watch that. I don't know.
Quit making the bad guys the good guys. I'm not going to go to see a Nightmare on Elm Street movie where all of a sudden Freddy Krueger's like, actually, I was saving those people, those kids I raped and murdered. You know, like no, you can't do that.
Wait, he grapes them.
Well. So it's implied, but really the remake of Nightmare on Elm Street, like, it makes it more explicit that he was touching kids. I don't like it. I prefer child murderer instead of raping them.
Yeah. All right.
Yep.
No one. Yeah. So, like
sorry,
I said,
sorry to kill very your mood.
Different, very, very different, you know, things.
Sorry to kill the vibe. Families. Speaking of different things that we watched in our families. So, this weekend I'm hanging out with Jeff, and there is a stage play that I'm going to see. I'm going to see a stage play for the first time in many years, Travis.
Wicked?
No. Paranormal Activity. A stage play of Paranormal Activity. I have no idea what to expect with this thing, but it's a stage play. I'm like, okay, all right. let's roll the dice. Let's see how this thing goes. So yeah, would you and your family go to a stage play of Paranormal Activity?
Hard pass. I would rather drive down to Dallas for night two of the LOL podcast than go see a stage play of Paranormal Activity.
You know what? I'm just making a prediction. The LOL cast is going to show up at Paranormal Activity. that's all it is.
They
is
were
like,
dead the whole time.
And it's just like, and it's LOL. It's a LOL podcast. Like, that's how it starts. Just like a really dark, yeah, deep music. Anyways. Oh, yeah. So I'm looking forward to that. I forgot all about it until we were talking.
When is that? Christmas? Is that Christmas production?
No, it's Sunday. Ooh! Oh. Speaking of Thanksgiving, it's not Thanksgiving. I'm making my first turkey this year for the family.
Your first?
Yeah. I've never made a turkey. This will be my first turkey.
Wow. I'm making. What is your method that you're are you just doing standard oven roasting of a turkey?
No, I'm going to baste it with oil. for 20 hours, I'm going to stand over a turkey and just keep pouring oil over
baste
it.
Baste it with hot oil? It's not even hot oil. You're just lukewarm oil on it.
Brandon, I'm not going to eat this. I will go to the hospital.
I didn't know. Like, are you like, did you invest in a turkey fryer? Are you smoking it? Are you burying it in a pit in your backyard?
No, that's a bad idea. If cruises don't do well with pit food. I'm gonna bake it, right? I'm gonna roast it in the oven. Okay. My friend Justin, he sent me a link to this turkey seasoning kit. You see it on Facebook, basically. And I was like, yeah, it looks pretty good. I don't know how to season a turkey. I'm gonna buy it. So I invested in this turkey seasoning kit. I'm gonna try it out, roast the turkey, and provide it to my family. Well, and here's the thing. Chelsea signed me up to do the turkey this year for my family. Which okay. I'm okay with because I've never done it. I'm like, that sounds like fun. She signed me up for it. So now I'm all
good.
In.
I'm excited for you. I'm excited to hear how it turns out. I have traditionally been on turkey duty in my family for many years.
Yeah.
I actually have to cook a turkey this week, for our work Thanksgiving function.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. We have a bunch, you know, a handful of people that are providing turkeys and then other people that are providing sides and desserts, things like that. But it's kind of crazy to me that this Friday is a Thanksgiving celebration.
Oh, yeah.
Like
yeah.
at work. Like, and a couple weeks from now, it's just straight up Thanksgiving. And then before you know it, like, Christmas is coming gone and you're on a plane to Richmond to play in Disney Lorcana Challenge. It's just, it's you know, if you don't slow down to, you know, look around, you know,
yeah,
you know, life moves pretty fast or something like that. So
yeah.
If you need any tips, I highly recommend brining a bird. If you have the capacity to do.
I don't want any tips. Okay. But here's a tip.
I don't want any tips. Don't talk to me.
here's a tip I do want, Travis, is I need to get a fairly big bird because it'll be big bird. It'll be my brother and his wife.
La, la, la.
My older brother, Tim, and his wife are coming down. My grandpa, his wife, and then my uncle and his girlfriend are going to be there. And of course, my parents. So I'm like, okay, a fairly big bird. I don't really have
any. But everybody else will be there.
Yeah, no, you were invited. It was in the mail.
Oh, okay. Good. All right.
Yeah. Along with Clarabelle, the card that I sent you.
Still have it.
Yeah. Don't use it. What I want to know is I don't have any room in any of my fridge or my freezer for a turkey to prepare. So should I buy a hot point 6.9 cubic foot chest freezer convertible to refrigerator white from Lowe's, exclusive $199, down from $269? Should I get that, Travis?
Are you thinking Okay.
Should I get a standalone freezer?
Here's all the things that are going through my head as you tell this story. Mm-hmm. One, I've been to your house before. Mm-hmm. And when I was there, your fridge didn't seem that full. Now, things could change. Things could change from, 2 years ago when I came to your house. But, like, you don't have any room in your fridge at all? Like, this sounds to me like an excuse that you want to buy this freezer.
So that's your first thought. Did you have more thoughts?
Because you want a beer fridge. That's what I'm thinking.
No, it's a freezer.
It's a freezer? Get it.
Yeah, I'm not going to put beer in a freezer. You kidding me? Doug?
Okay. I have a freezer in my car hold, my garage.
Oh. I went to the supermarket yesterday.
I want to know what that sudden light bulb was.
It was like, yeah, maybe I could take that from Travis's house without him knowing. Without you knowing. Like, all of a sudden, all of your frozen stuff is just on the floor of the garage. And I'm like, where'd my freezer go?
You don't steal all the stuff in it. You carefully take everything out of it, place it on the ground, unplug the freezer.
Yeah,
and walk out.
But like stacked neatly, but like it's all defrosting.
It's
and
all
like
defrosting. There's just a pool in the cement. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I saw my parents. I went to the supermarket yesterday, and I just happened to see my parents there. We shop at the same place, and so then we started talking turkey. And I'm like, hey, do you guys have a any room in your freezer? They're like, no. I'm like, okay, I guess I'll buy one. I'm like, you don't have to buy one. We can make room. I'm like, yeah, no, you made the decision for me. Thanks, Mom. And I was like, don't tell Chelsea.
When is this event that you're cooking for?
Thanksgiving?
This is on Thanksgiving.
It's for Thanksgiving, yeah.
And when do you plan to buy the turkey?
When should
you're I? Like, you're like, it's in the kitchen right now. I have nowhere to put it.
I was at the when I was at the supermarket yesterday, I was like, I should buy this turkey right now. No, I need a freezer first. And then I saw my parents right after that. So like these kind of thoughts were all like piggybacking off of each other.
Okay. Got it.
So I do not have a turkey yet.
Okay.
How early should I buy a turkey? Should I buy one now?
I don't know. If you have a place to put it, if you have a we're going kind of around in circles here. I mean, if you have a place to store it, yeah, you could freeze it and then just take it out. My family is notorious for not taking the turkey out of the freezer early enough, because like days in advance, you have to take it out of the freezer so that it can thaw before you cook it. And if you're doing a very large turkey, like that's several days, like almost a week in advance.
How many pounds a day?
I literally Googled this like 4 days ago.
And you forgot. You forgot already.
I've already forgotten. I think it's about a day for every 4 pounds or something like that. Yeah. Something like that. So, I mean, depending on how far in advance you buy it, like freezing it may not be the answer as well. But you also don't want to run the risk that they sell out of turkeys in this economy. And you pay turkey tariffs.
Oh my gosh. Oof. Those turkey tariffs.
I asked Caleb today, like before we came back here to record, I was like, hey, what should we talk about on the podcast tonight? He's like, is it very political? I was like, me and Brandon's podcast? No. He's like, I mean, you could talk about the government shutdown. And I was like,
no,
I think I know what you guys are learning about in school. Like, and no, we will not be discussing it.
No, we won't. We won't. And with that in mind, I think it's probably time to go. We got a couple votes on the Senate. We still have to.
Right. That's right. Talk to your congressperson. Anyway, I guess that'll be the show.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for listening.
Yes, on Prop 50.
A very happy Veterans Day to you, Brandon,
and to
every
you.
Other veteran that celebrates, I guess. I just love not going to work. That's what I love.
I know. So. Tomorrow, free hamburger at In-N-Out.
Ooh, all right. Well, thanks for inviting me.
Now we're even.
I won't drive down to Dallas for the LOL podcast, but for an In-N-Out cheeseburger, sign me up. I guess I know what I'm doing tomorrow.
Sienna's like, come on, Dad. You suck.
All right. That's the show. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for watching. If you're new here, rate, review, rating on your podcatcher of choice is a great way to help the podcast out. You can comment, like, subscribe, do all those things on YouTube, or just share the podcast. Hit the share button on whatever you are using to consume this content, and let other people know that you enjoy it. And that'll do it. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, I'm Travis.
And I'm Brandon.
Bye.